T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Our buddy Sean Salisbury from AM 790 in Houston, former NFL quarterback. Sean, you are the fifth former NFL quarterback to join the show in the last 4 days. Do you want to try to guess who the other four are? That would be impossible.
Let's see. Jaworski?
No. That's a good guess, though.
Orlovsky?
Nice job. Orlovsky is one.
Mm-hmm. Gary Danielson or Bernie Kosar?
Both! Did you? Keith told you.
I promise you on my life, I didn't see it on Twitter and nobody told me.
Wow.
I was just about to say Sean's a pro. He sees it on Twitter.
That's three. Who am I missing?
You're missing one. You want me to give you a clue?
Brian Seifert, Don Strock.
No, but good guesses, but I'll give you a clue on this one. He's another former Browns quarterback, played more recently than Bernie.
Well, then it has to be, is it Tim Couch?
Tim Couch! You did it!
There you
Sean
go.
Salisbury
Look
knows
at that, this guy. It's unbelievable.
Savant, brother, I'm a savant.
You are a savant.
That is great. Great friend. Stuff, Sean. Hey, I'll tell you, I am so fired. We've been fired up about some of these Baker comments, but I didn't even want to talk about that right now. What I'm fired up about is I got to tell you, I'm sick of the preseason. I hate the preseason. The starters don't play anymore, which I don't care about, but don't force me to watch these games. If the guys don't play, I feel like I shouldn't even have to watch the games. I want regular season football, Sean. The preseason, from a viewing standpoint, is becoming kind of meaningless. That's how it feels to me.
It's friggin' awful.
Yeah.
Okay, and here's who it matters to. It matters to the coaches that are trying to settle on the last few guys to make a roster on the practice. It matters to the guy who is trying to make a roster. I haven't been the guy who's, you know, when you're not drafted and you got to bust, and every snap of every day matters. And so I don't want to diminish that for them, because you're life-changing either way, whether you have to go on to another career or this. So I do respect that. But it's for the visual eye, and it may matter to the person who is a knee-jerk, oh-my-gosh, preseason guy, that guy.
Yes.
Who, like in San Francisco, I was just on a half hour ago, guys, and the panic from folks about Jimmy Garoppolo's 1-6. I mean, we don't keep score in a preseason. We don't keep scoring wins and losses. I've seen enough of him to know that I think he's going to be okay as long as he doesn't get the mental and emotional yips from throwing it. So for me, I'm not a big guy. I tell you, like I said, I haven't watched a full preseason game yet. Now I go back and watch every throw, a quarterback, an offensive line play, like where there's a weakness here in Houston. I'll go back and watch, but no, it's not disrespectful to the fourth string running back trying to make a team. God bless him. I hope it does. And I'll watch him when he makes the team, and I'm pulling for him because I was that guy the last 10 years, but I also know that if you're not learning much. There's not a lot of looks. You're not getting much out of it. But if there's one guy who catches 6 balls all 4 preseason games, then we say, okay, that guy raised his game. But to me, I was ready for it to end before it started. I'm ready for football to start, college football this weekend.
Yeah.
I can't wait. It's time to let and I know you guys are fired up for that too. It's time, man. Like I said, practice matters, 2 preseason games, and let's get it on. I don't need 18 regular season games either, but this is too long.
Gators and Hurricanes Saturday night, Sean. That's
yes, sir, and no question. I got a quarterback. You guys keep an eye on at University of Arizona, who's having a monster. He's a freshman who went into Grant Gunnell. You've probably heard of him. A 5-star kid. I've been training him since the 8th grade, and he is destroying spring practice. And I know Khalil Tate, but Khalil's going to have to up his game from last year, like he did 2 years ago, to stave him off. This kid can rip it. The Pac-12 is, and for my Trojans and the rest of the Pac-12, better be on notice, because this kid is going to be a monster out west eventually.
Sean Salisbury is with us. Sean, Baker Mayfield said he wants to play a half in this game on Friday, and they asked Freddie about it today. He goes, well, a lot of people got opinions around here. I don't think he's going to play him a full half. How much do you play Baker, and how important is it really, Sean? They call this the dress rehearsal, right? This is the third preseason game. A lot of teams use it as their kind of tune-up before the season.
So why is this the dress rehearsal?
I don't know. You tell me.
I've never, because you know what we're going to do? None of them are going to play in game 4, and it'll be 2 weeks off again. So what's the dress rehearsal to go out and get a little rhythm and then lose it the next week? I've never understood it. I mean, why isn't game two the dress rehearsal? Then I get you 3 weeks of fresh legs. We'll get all the work in practice. Why wouldn't I get him the first preseason game and then give him 3 weeks of rest and then just get all the work in practice? I've always marveled at, hey, this is the one. This preseason game ain't going to tell you much more than the rest of them do other than a few more snaps. For me, I love Baker. I love him wanting to play because that's what a competitor does. Hell, he'd probably want to play four quarters if they let him compete and if they were keeping score the right way and the way we're supposed to in a regular season. I'm with Freddie. Here's what I do. Give me a couple series. Put it this way. If the first two series, he goes six out of, let's say, 8 out of 10, and they go down and score a touchdown and a field goal, I'm getting him out. Well, what good is it? Because no Baker Mayfield, and I hate to tell you this, Cleveland's playoff hopes get greatly diminished. What am I gaining by getting four extra throws from Baker in the
Nothing.
Third quarter?
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not gaining anything. I'm going to throw a curl flat combo that he throws with his eyes closed during practice. So for me, let me get in early some of the things I want him to work on. Let's say we're our quick game out of the gun, and I wanted to work on the slant, the quick game, getting it out of his hand, a little RPO action or whatever. Boom, let's run it early in the series. And then the next series. But if he has two where it's three and out, okay, play him a third or a fourth series and get him going. But I love Baker's competitiveness, but Freddie Kitchens is the boss. Freddie knows what he's going to play him. All I care about is the feel-good feeling. I sure as heck don't need in quarter two a dig route over the middle where Beckham tried, if he was playing, try to go make a spectacular play and somebody takes him out. You think the San Diego Chargers are feeling good about Derwin James right now? How's that feel? Every single year or something. And I know injuries happen, but I can greatly limit the opportunity for injuries to happen by keeping him on a sideline. He gets two or three good series, and I sit him down and put a baseball cap on him.
Sean, Antonio Brown hasn't played a minute, and he's hurt anyway. And this with all this stuff with the helmet, I mean, I'm sick of it. I'm so annoyed by him, and I don't even care about the Raiders, and I don't really like John Gruden. But if you were John Gruden or if you were Mike Mayock and you had a private moment with Antonio Brown, what are you saying to him at this point?
I come to Jesus. You're a superstar, but you know what? Here's the problem, guys, is that for me, remember, I grew up a Raider fan, right, guys? So while I'd love him on the field, his the irritation and the distraction and the whining and bitching and complaining, why don't you do what the rest of us got to do, dude? Put the helmet on your head and get used to it. Because had you put the helmet on your head for 3 weeks and gotten used to it, we wouldn't have to worry about you bitching and complaining if you drop the ball in week one and blaming everybody else but yourself. Because that's coming down the pike, I guarantee it. So,
100%.
And you know what, while I don't need him playing in games, I do need him understanding blitz pickup, what the hot read is. And if he's not mentally there, how do I trust him to make plays? He's a phenomenal talent. You need him on the field. But just as phenomenal a talent, he's just as big a pain in the ass. So, yeah, I'm tired of it too, because Brady has to deal with it. Baker's got to wear a helmet. I don't understand where he's going to lose his second grievance. He's spending more time worrying about something. He's barking up the wrong tree and swimming up the wrong stream. He's not going to beat this. You're going to have to wear the helmet. The injuries is too, the way the NFL's protecting it. And so wasting all this time talking about it, get your butt on the field. So if I had a private moment with him, it's not just to come to Jesus. It's you're a player. I'm the coach. I'd start finding his butt every day for missing.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
100%.
Because he's under contract, and I can start docking his pay. And I don't care if he's pissed, because you know what? Somewhere along the line this year, Derek Carr's going to miss a throw or four to him, and he's going to catch two balls for 27 yards. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I love him and I get it, I'm usually on the player's side. Just enough, dude. You're a blessed football player. Take your non-helmet-wearing ass to camp and let's go, because the other 90 or 89 dudes are sitting there saying, come on, man, we got a place. It's getting late now. Now, if your contract hold on, I don't get into your wallet. I don't talk about your money. But you got paid. You're getting yours. It's time for you to come and reward us now for rewarding you. Put a helmet on and come play like the rest of us grown-ass men do.
100%. 100% agree. All right, Sean, are you a fantasy football player?
You know what? I get asked about 100 leagues. I haven't played fantasy football in a league in a decade. I follow and I pay attention to coordinators and the staff, but I don't. And as a matter of fact, another media guy in town just says, Sean, you got to join our TV league.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't really like the responsibility with all the stuff I do to have to pick a team every week.
Yeah.
But I do love it, and I admire those who do it. I think it's awesome.
So if you were advising people that are considering drafting Andrew Luck with his injury status, or Melvin Gordon or Ezekiel Elliott, because obviously they're both holding out, what would your advice to them be right now?
Draft all three.
Hmm.
They're all three going to play. They're all three going to be there. They're all three. I lucked the one because the other two are holdouts. Do you have the guts to do what Le'Veon Bell did and be willing to risk that kind of money per week? I don't believe they do. Something tells me that Zeke will get done. If any of it, Melvin Gordon might be the one that tries to send a message loud, but I think they're all going to be there. I do. And if they miss a game, it won't last past into October. With luck, the reason why there's concern went from a calf to a bone to a high ankle sprain to he still hasn't teed it up. But if I know him, he'll be ready to go, and they protect him. He doesn't hit the ground often. I would draft all three. If you felt good about it, I don't see Andrew Luck missing six games this year because of it. Okay. I think they're being overly cautious. That's good. I wouldn't pass on him. Now, unless you have a chance to get Barkley first, you take him. But if you're drafting one of them eighth and you love Zeke Elliott, don't pass him up. He's going to show up and get carries.
All right, I'm going to take him at six because of your advice, Sean. I got six in one of my leagues.
Listen, Jerry, at some point in time, and you don't want to regret it because you know when he's there, even in 14 games, his production is going to be as good as a lot of guys in 16.
All right, I'm going to trust you.
All right, Sean, last thing I want to ask you about is this potential expansion of playoff teams to adding another team to the playoffs in the NFL. What do you think?
No. Please don't be the NBA in hockey. Yeah. And I love hockey. I love the NBA. But guess what? The first round of the NBA playoffs ain't the playoffs. That's just because normally the underdog ain't winning. So let's bypass that. I don't need – I already have enough complaint when a division winner goes to the playoffs at 7-9. You want to realign and take the six best teams, even if that's four from one division with record, go do your thing. I'd listen to that. I don't want to listen to expanding the playoffs and adding more teams because, quite frankly, if you're not playing above 500 football, then hell, to me, you're not a football. You're not a playoff team anyway. So no. 12 is plenty. Why? See, that's the problem with the NFL with rules and instant replay. We try to fix stuff that ain't broke. We do. Why are we trying to fix the greatest sport on the planet that we get 12 teams? You got to bust your ass to get in. We play all 16 weeks. We don't tank and. You know, very rarely is a team 1-14 going. So a lot of them, they may tank at the end and start their backup quarterback like Daniel Jones at the Giants. But we got a lot of teams in the last 2 weeks of the season playing for something. No, I don't need a 13th or 14th team. Give me 12 and let's go. That's why it's the best thing in the world because it's not watered down.
Yeah, I mean, baseball and football have that advantage. But I hate basketball and hockey, right? The regular season doesn't matter. I could live with 7 because it's still under 50%. If they go to 8, to me, that's awful. Because now it's 50% and you're losing buys. I don't like it at all.
Me either. Like I said, I get it.
Yeah.
And revenue and gift and more incentive. But you know what? There's even more incentive. Knowing you got to be 1-6 to get in.
Yeah.
And if you're battling, you got to do it. We make everything way too easy on everybody. It's okay to be a little difficult and have to work a little bit and miss the playoffs, even with a 9-7 record or what have you, and have to come back the next year and battle to get better. We don't have to expand everything. We don't need to change something that in my mind is not broke.
Sean, great stuff as always, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Sean.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks.
All right, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.